Why does it feel like nobody really gives us the inside scoop? Join us on The Powers That Be, the podcast where insiders from Puck break down who has influence, how they use it, and what it actually means for you. New episodes every weekday. Listen to The Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.
Kale and Company weekday mornings 6 till 10.
Police searching for the gunman who opened fire on this on somebody in West Philadelphia. One man in critical condition this morning, happened late last night, and that investigation proceeded into the wee hours of the morning. This was the 5900 block of Market Street. Police officers say they found that victim lying in the street along with two bicycles. So investigators once again turning to and reviewing that surveillance video, the surveillance images we talk about all the time. So they say in this case, the images show two men driving up in a white SUV. They get out of the vehicle and just open fire. This is the Wild Wild West, or maybe an old mafia film kind of scene that they paint. As police say, the bullets also struck two nearby businesses, as well as at least one parked car. So a woman was reportedly inside one of the vehicles, and the business owners were not injured. So those were the innocent victims surrounding. Authorities still working to track down the gunman. And so we don't have, once again, we don't have suspects. We don't have anybody under arrest. And we don't have a motive.
Weather's warming up. I think this will be the theme right through the end of the summer, Dawn. God. We should track it. We should look at what the shooting volume was from January until daylight savings time and post daylight savings time. I'd be interested to see if we have an uptick in gun violence. I feel like we do.
I believe, you know, I look at the police data every day, it looks like 74 homicides in Philadelphia, and that's in the official column. Remember, there's that sort of ambiguous column as people dying and they're not sure if it was homicide, what happened there. So we always talk about that. But they say 74 homicides officially in Philadelphia so far this year. And that is down a little over 21% compared to this day, May 13th, back, you know, 1 year ago.
Mm, okay. I would like to just see the total volume of shootings, yeah, whether they result in death or not.
Yeah.
Pre-daylight savings time, post-daylight savings time.
Well,
I get the sense they go up. The more daylight there is, the warmer it gets. Just a hunch.
And we have a Philadelphia rapper who adopted the name Voice of the Youth.
Oh, he's my ring. He's the ringtone I have on my phone. Voice of the Youth.
Voice of the Youth.
Yeah, never heard of him.
Shot and killed in this one in Northeast Philadelphia. So the first shooting I talked about, West Philadelphia. Now I'm taking you to Northeast Philadelphia. And so his name, Kadir Johnson, he was known as LGBQUA, and they have confirmed he was murdered in this shooting. He was the target, and they said that the 30-year-old rapper and a friend were approached by three guys in Juniata Park, and this was, they say, a robbery gone wrong, with one of those robbers shooting the rapper in his chest and killing him.
Figured it was due to an outstanding library book that he didn't return from years ago.
Is this part of the polka group that you were talking about yesterday, Dawn?
Yeah, different polka group.
Yeah. Different polka group. Yeah, those factions, you know, those differing factions in the polka world are just, you know, it's dangerous. It's dangerous out there to be not part of the in crowd in the polka community.
How did you say he identified? LGBQUA? What was that?
Well, that was his rap. His name.
Oh.
His moniker, if you will.
Okay.
So no arrests in that fatal shooting.
Wow. Man, you know.
The LGBTQPA, I think that's the rival team of the LGBTQ+.
Jeez.
Yeah, everybody's got letters and symbols next to them now.
Watch out for the classical music group, too. They're up
very
and coming.
Very unhinged group.
They're up and coming, and they are unhinged. So polka guys, watch out.
Hey, just a heads up, consumer alert. Police in Bucks County are putting out this warning. Check your bank accounts after they discovered two of those skimming devices found at least one Wawa. So the devices found in the store, this is the one at 3520 Bethlehem Pike. This is Hilltown Township. One device was removed, and then on last Monday, and then another one was just removed this past Sunday. So apparently one was removed and then another one either turned up or they didn't detect it. So it's not clear who placed the devices there or how long they have been in place. But if you were at that very busy, popular Wawa, then, and you put your PIN number in, especially.
Always bypass the PIN. Always bypass the PIN, ladies and gentlemen. There's a consumer.
Hit credit?
Here, no. All you have to do is hit the green button.
Right.
It says enter your PIN, hit the green button, right. And it'll just automatically get
it. Yeah, it runs it as credit as opposed to debit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a little consumer advice for you, 608. Consumer. Bypass the PIN.
Yeah.
Some places won't let you, though. I noticed when I was getting gas the other day,
really?
It would not let me. Yeah. I almost wanted to pay cash.
Why did it give you a transaction declined if you tried it the other way?
No, I tried to just hit the green button, you know, to bypass it and wouldn't let me.
Oh.
Said, enter your PIN. So I entered my PIN. Now I probably got skimmed.
I don't know. My giant just changed up their machines at self-checkout where you put the little debit card into the box. And I had a rhythm. I had a routine. And now they're all new and high-tech. And I have no idea what's going on.
Yeah.
It's taking way too much time now.
I saw there was a sign on one of the gas pumps that I was at yesterday. It says 10 cents off a gallon if you use cash. I was like,
is that
right? Yeah. I had no cash on me. I was like, damn.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't even know what cash feels like anymore. Smells like, looks like. 10 cents off a gallon, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll have to run it by the old lady.
She has all the cash, I take it?
Well, I mean, she just doesn't give it to me.
The old lady.
The old lady.
What's wrong with you?
Just, you know, I'm in the same category as my daughters, you know. Make sure everything gets approved first.
I'd like to hear that.
Oh, I bet you would. I bet you would.
Taking you to New Jersey news. First, this is a man accused of videoing himself of having intimate relations with dogs.
Oh, God. Oh, wow.
I just barely got that coffee down.
I mean, if you're going to do it, at least video it, right?
And had sicko conversations, allegedly, with an underage boy, distributed, allegedly, thousands of files containing what's known as child pornography. This is...
I have to tell you, we're going to play a clip later that Nick found. Sean Ryan interviewed Tim Tebow, and he has a chart that shows everybody in the last 30 days, like these red dots in the last 30 days, who have downloaded or distributed child abuse videos. And it is sickening to see all these red dots. What is happening?
Mm-hmm. Dawn, put your pedophilia hat on for that segment.
This is going to justify everything Dawn Stensland says, where she says, where she sees the pedophiles around every corner.
Mm-hmm.
When we play this at 7:45, get over to YouTube. This video is shocking.
Well, should it really surprise any of us if Hollywood is perverted as we all believe and the Diddy case is going on, some really gross testimony that came out yesterday? If the most famous visible people are that disturbed and willing to commit disturbed acts, should we be surprised that no-namers and nobodies in the middle of nowhere are doing it?
I guess not.
Right?
I guess not.
And that's the way I look at it.
Yeah. So what's up with this New Jersey guy?
Yeah.
So he's identified by police as 26-year-old Hunter Roy of Mapleshade, under arrest and charged with a slew of charges related to, for example, possession and distribution of these videos that would show child abuse for sexual gratification. Ugh. That's the name for child pornography, which
firing squad.
We're not supposed to call child pornography.
No.
For obvious reasons, and then the gratification of sexual acts with a Rottweiler dog, as well as another dog. I don't know the other dog, the other dog is a Chihuahua. I don't know what the other dog is, but a Rottweiler and a little dog.
Were they male or female dogs?
I don't know.
How did they align politically?
Oh, my goodness.
Poor doggies. Rottweilers aren't...
No, I was going to say...
That's not the dog you want to mess with, man. My buddy Barry just bought a female Rottweiler. She's 6 months old. She's already 65 pounds.
Your buddy Barry is texting you, yo, in the middle of that story.
Yeah, please don't throw my name in with this. Yeah.
My name is Lou.
Exactly.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Oh, this is. I really believe that if we had stiffer penalties for this type of stuff, I don't mean the dog thing. I mean that's just depraved. But the child stuff, like castration, like in front of in a pay-per-view or something like that.
Sadly, I don't think it would change much.
You don't?
No. I mean, all the penitentiaries, all the prisons, and everything that we have in place.
What if we took them out in the town square, charged some money? All the money went to like abuse victims, and just watched them be castrated. You know what I mean? And
somebody would be offended by it,
and then we can all laugh at the size of their member.
Well, your head's in the gutter today.
I'm just telling you. I'm just saying. If we had stiffer penalties, maybe these creeps would think twice about it.
Oh, I'd like to think you're right, but I don't know.
Castration in the public square.
Not great news for Philadelphia MLB. The final score, 3-2. We lost to the Cardinals.
Dun, dun, dun. Cardinals are a good team, and they came in here hot.
Yeah, you were saying that yesterday. Yeah. So today, facing the Cardinals, 6:45 this afternoon. You already mentioned it, but of course, one of the big stories, DJT endorsing former assemblyman and businessman Jack Cittarelli.
Yes.
What do you guys think about him throwing his hat in the ring for primary? Shouldn't he have let the primary play out a little bit?
I will reserve judgment for the 6:50 block today on the show sheet, sir.
Oh, for God's sake.
Got it all lined up in there. We're going to spend a good 6-7 minutes
Giving the people at 6:15 something to listen to.
How about we talk
Christ
about,
almighty.
How about we talk about the fact that the Sixers had a great chance to get the first overall pick, and a team with a 1% chance got the first pick?
Yeah, but the lottery balls did blow in our favor, didn't they?
Well, we got the third pick, so they'll just waste it anyway.
Okay.
Like Bill Spadia trying to run for governor. Waste of time. Guy had like a 12% chance, and now it's down to 1.2.
If you believe the polls, Jack Cittarelli was the clear front runner.
Yeah. He's got a better chance to be the Republican nominee than Mikey Sherrill does, the Democrat, based on the odds that are out there.
I thought we didn't believe polls, guys.
That's true.
Oh, it's just not even close. True. Sometimes you don't even need to look at a poll. Okay. You just know.
All right.
I read something in njbiz.com that 68% of those polled, it was just over 1,000 people, had no idea who Bill Spadia was.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how do you win when almost 7 out of 10 polled voters don't even know you?
See?
Right?
True. I don't know what to say.
Yeah. I mean, I think they know Jack because what did he lose the first time around? By 3 points?
Yeah, he almost won.
What does that say about Spadia's low-energy radio show if nobody knows who he is?
Oh.
Is he going to go back to
that?
He's touting the fact he has a million listeners. Can you believe that?
I figured you were going to add him to the weekend lineup after his loss. But.
A million listeners. Okay. Yeah.
Greg is feisty this morning.
Yeah, you know. I get a lot of sleep. So I'm shot out of a cannon.
I like that.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
I'm sure the YouTube chat adores it.
Million listeners.
So we are sponsored this morning by American Heritage Credit Union, buying a home.
10 of his best friends.
With the MyCU Home Connection Program through American Heritage Credit Union, you can unlock exclusive cash rewards, benefits, and discounts.
Sunday night's open, Bill. If you want in Sunday night.
Oh, my God. Let her finish her read.
8 to 10.
Learn more at AmericanHeritageCU.org/home connection. Insured by NCUA. Not a member? No problem. Join today. NMLS 43-38-38. Thank you, American Heritage Credit Union, for sponsoring our news. 66 degrees, light rain. Not a pretty day weather-wise, Nick Kale.
You're correct, Dawn. It's 63 degrees right now in Philadelphia with some light rain. A little spattering of showers, if you will. Going up to only 68 today, so we're almost at the high. Showers are a formality today throughout the afternoon into the evening. And then we start to dry out as we get closer to the weekend. And Philly weather is brought to you by MTRule.com, your Generac generator experts. That's MTRule.com. Hey, maybe Stocker, since we're on the Bill Spadia kick, maybe Bill Spadia can do all these reads for us. He's not going to have a lot of time.
Bill Spadia and Barry Sable every morning, Sunday mornings at 10 a.m.
Yeah. I mean, if Jimmy Kelly ever has enough one day and decides to quit, I think Bill would be perfect for the movie clip at 9:50.
There's a best of on Saturday that he can run.
Wow.
He can introduce it. This is what a real morning show sounds like.
Oh.
Take a listen.
Oh.
And then he can go.
Do I have time for the big take, or are we going to get on the other side?
No, we have to get on the other side.
Big take is coming up next. It was Donald Trump's almost perfect day. Greg will continue to do his own show on Bill Spadia.
Sorry about that. I'm doing my own show over here.
And we'll continue as we work our way to the cut sheet on Kale & Company. Big Take coming up next. Stay right there.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, you'll hear true stories that will intrigue you, inspire you, and make you laugh.
He said, is there anything in your diet that might be spiking your blood sugar? I said, sometimes I eat pizza until I'm unconscious. He said, I think that might be it.
For real stories live on stage from comedians, astronauts, accountants, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Kale & Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and on the free Odyssey app. The Big Take on Kale & Company.
All right, let's get down to business. The Big Take, Trump's almost perfect day. I would argue that Monday, May 12th, 2025, Donald Trump had a near flawless day. From trade and tariff news with China to attacking big pharma and drug costs to putting out campaign promises that he campaigned on for his big, beautiful bill to help the working class. I was very happy with the news that came down yesterday until the news came down that I didn't like pertaining to South Africa. We will get to that story on the back half of the Big Take. But let's begin with CNBC and their business news reporter, Juliana Tattelbaum, detailing the timeline and the effort that went into a Mother's Day weekend American victory. Listen and watch this.
Here in Geneva, we witnessed marathon talks over the last 2 days, 8 hours of discussions on Saturday, several hours more yesterday, and they've yielded a major breakthrough. As you noted, we've seen the U.S. and China now agree to slash tariffs for 90 days. So both sides have agreed to cut tariffs by 115% in terms of China's tariffs on U.S. goods. It's now going to come down to 10%. The U.S. tariffs on Chinese goods going to drop from 145% to 30% because you've still got some levies on fentanyl in there. During the 90 days, the Trump administration, Secretary Scott Bessent, saying the two sides will negotiate. The U.S. will continue moving toward a more balanced trading relationship.
Another great deal for America. All of you small package shoppers out there that have things dropped off on your front porch, well, tariff rates on small packages from China will be cut in half, though a flat fee option will not change, the White House said on Monday. Trump previously ended a loophole that allowed low-value goods into the country tariff-free. The rate reversal will ease price pressures on customers of Chinese retailer Temu. Raise your hand if you've used Temu before. And even CNN was complimentary of Trump. Headline, how Trump managed to get his much-needed China trade victory. They write, quote, President Donald Trump's shock and awe tariff approach threatened to rupture the global financial system and drive the U.S. economy into recession. However, nervous about the prospect of empty store shelves and reignited inflation, Trump sent in his even-keeled and professional negotiators to Geneva to snag a win. The unexpectedly dramatic de-escalation with China laid the groundwork for a growing series of trade negotiations that may produce a handful of rapid-fire, if less than fulsome, bilateral agreements to reduce U.S. trade deficits, end quote. The final element of victory was an unexpected one when it pertains to trade and China. Here is the brilliant Scott Bessent and what made him very happy. Listen and watch.
This does not include any sector-specific tariffs that have been put across all of our trading partners, and as the ambassador said, I think he would agree with me that the upside surprise for me from this weekend was the level of Chinese engagement on the fentanyl crisis in the United States. They brought the deputy minister for security,
public safety,
for public safety, who is not traditionally part of the trade team or the negotiating team, and he had a very robust and highly detailed discussion.
This could be the biggest victory for Donald Trump when it pertains to young people, even those not even eligible to vote right now in America, in his presidential legacy. Fentanyl alone in 2024 killed more Americans last year than all terrorism attacks combined in the last 25 years globally. It is a stone cold killer. China makes it, then it comes up through our now closed southern border and kills countless, sometimes unexpected Americans every single year. Major win for safety in this country. Next up, Big Pharma. Axios with this headline. Trump signs executive order aimed at cutting prescription drug costs by 80%. They write, Trump's executive order directed Health and Human Services Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. to facilitate direct-to-consumer purchasing programs for manufacturers to sell pharmaceutical products to U.S. patients at, quote, the most favored nation price. Trump said it will happen almost immediately, low-end 30%, high-end 80%. And Bobby Kennedy has been fighting against Big Food and Big Pharma his entire professional life. That's why he was brought aboard. That's where MAHA, Make America Healthy Again, comes from. And he knows the battles that need to be waged. And he's had some victories here in the first 4.5 months of 47's administration. But this statement from Bobby is probably one of the strongest endorsements you will ever hear. Take a listen and watch what he had to say about Trump and cutting drug costs. Listen and watch this.
But he can't be bought, unlike most of the politicians in this country. And he is standing here for the American people. I don't know what, you know, there's writers like Lord Elizabeth Warren or Robert Reich who are saying that President Trump is on this side of the oligarchs. There has never been a president more willing to stand up to the oligarchs than President Donald Trump. And I'm very, very proud of you, Mr. President, for your courage, for your, I'll say, because I don't want to be crude, your intestinal fortitude, your stiff spine, and your willingness to stand up for the American people. We have 4.2% of the world's population. Our country represents 75% of the revenues for pharmaceutical companies.
It's just amazing. We are 4% of the global population, yet we contribute to 75% of Big Pharma's revenue. I'm sure Bernie and AOC loved the oligarchy dig there by Bobby as well. Finally, on the things that I love from Trump's big day, delivering on campaign promises for the working class. The following has been confirmed to be in Trump's One Big Beautiful Bill. They include no tax on tips, no tax on overtime, tax relief for seniors with the ability to deduct an additional $4,000, no tax on auto loan interest, and also the expansion of 529 savings accounts for parents with kids K through 12. Sign me up for that. Lastly, we get to the news that I don't like. Trump letting South Africans who happen to be, quote, white into America as refugees. Yes, the same country that Elon Musk is from. And in my opinion, yes, this is hypocrisy. Here's my stance on this. I am more of a America first populist than anything else, more so than a conservative, more so than a moderate, more so than a Republican, more so than MAGA, more so than registered with the GOP. Whether it's foreign aid to Ukraine, illegals from South America, Asia, the Middle East, you name it, or even white people that are farmers from South Africa, doesn't matter to me if it's Biden or Trump. I am about taking care of legal citizens of the United States of America first and foremost. Those who work here, those who pay taxes here, those who contribute here. I'm not interested in saving other nations' populations when we have veterans that are homeless, that fought for our freedoms and liberties, who get discarded to the streets upon returning from combat, used up and spit out like a washed-up running back in the National Football League. Did you know that on any given night, we have roughly 50,000 veterans on a daily basis that are homeless? That can be fixed like that by just one billionaire, one multimillionaire. 50,000 people could be gone just like that if we wanted to do it. America first, in my opinion, means just that. America first. No exceptions. No twisting yourself in a political pretzel of logic. Because now we ask the same question. For those of us with brains, and as Bobby said, a stiff spine, where do we draw the line? Isn't China murdering Muslims in their country? Do we take them on? Isn't Gaza a disaster? We don't want Gaza refugees. Hell, the Middle East doesn't even want them. Every Middle Eastern nation says no thank you to the Gaza refugees. Until our streets and our people are 100% good in this country, I am 100% out on free handouts. Plenty of commentary and clips coming up on the cut sheet pertaining to this story. But if you didn't know my stance, now you do, and I'll give more of it at 7:45. But make no mistake about it, I thought Trump had a great day yesterday. I think he nailed 4 out of 5 things. And so far, to date, my complaints in 5 months, 1 or 2 cabinet members, a plane from the Saudis, and the South African refugees. Feels like he's just helping out his buddy Elon Musk. But you know what? I can live with that because he's delivering on what he said he would do. And in about 5 months, he's moving at warp speed. So again, I can live with that. And I'm sure you can too. And that's the big take.
The Big Take on Kale & Company.
All right, Big Take, if you want to jump in, 855-839-1210, the phone number, on social media, at 1210WPHT. And, of course, the YouTube chat. That is where you sound off with some of your best comments, usually the Scud missiles that go right towards Stalker. We like that. YouTube.com/at1210WPHT. Hit the like and subscribe buttons. All right, Dawn, trade, drug costs, coming through with promises in his big, beautiful bill, and then also the South African refugee story. Your thoughts on everything that we just discussed.
Yeah, my surprise out of anything was, and obviously this is, you know, both sides decided that this was not good for China or the U.S. or the global economy. So I think the big winner was the global economy and all of us, the markets we saw skyrocketing yesterday and maybe pushing the reset button there. But the one I was surprised by was that the White House did agree to cut those so-called de minimis tariffs on China shipments. So this was to 54%, and so that's the deal for 90 days. So that's Shine, Temu that I talk about all the time. I was a little surprised by that one, but to me, I just think that they realized that this is such a hot issue that just the discussion, if they could just get it off the headline and move on and then sit at a negotiating table this summer and figure things out, mm-hmm. It's better for everybody.
I agree. Let me point out one thing I really liked, and then I want to get into this South African refugee story. I know we have like 6 or 7 clips for the cut sheet, so I don't want to completely spill the bucket here for 7:45. But the one thing I really like as far as the coming through on campaign promises, and I don't work in this industry, but I have a ton of respect for those who do. You know, a lot of times we talk about, the tipping culture in the world that we live in. And, you know, I'm always the fiscally conservative financial curmudgeon on the show. I don't believe in giving 20% if your service sucked. But I do love the fact that these people that live in the tip industry that make their money that way are fast tracking towards the ability not to be taxed on those income streams, because this is going to be in the final edition of the Big Beautiful Bill. I think it's going to pass. I think it's going to get signed into law. And I got to tell you, I think if you think about what people, and I've never worked in the tip industry, I know Dawn, you were a waitress, Greg, you delivered pizza, but how much of a game changer is that for those that live off of tips? And I understand
huge.
That, like, you
it's
know,
huge.
Some people underreport their tips, and I don't it's begrudge huge. People that do. But that is an absolute game changer,
yes.
Right?
100% it is.
I mean,
yes.
Are we going to see an uptick in the service industry if you know you're not going to be taxed for that?
Absolutely.
Oh, my God.
Absolutely.
I mean, I could see for people foregoing college, for God's sakes.
Yep.
If you're a social butterfly and you like to hustle and move around and you get in at a really good place, and I'm not talking about a local wings and burger spot, but a higher end place.
You can make it.
You might make 6 figures.
You could easily make 6 figures.
Holy smokes.
Yep.
That is a game changer.
If you're willing to work hard.
Yes, if you're willing to work hard. And I would love to know what the ripple effect is for what people, you know, if you're oblivious to politics and then all of a sudden you see, oh, this Republican named Donald Trump did this. Okay, I was doing this as a college side hustle. But you know what? Instead of going into debt even further and maybe making less than I would after paying taxes for tips, I might do this for a career. I mean, I wouldn't be able to do it because I hate people, but God bless you if you could. So I thought that was interesting.
A lot of people who have never been, if you've never been a server, what a lot of people don't realize is that when you get that bill, at the end of the night, all the server, one server, they add up all of your receipts. In other words, every table that you waited on, all the booze, all the food, all the desserts, all of that.
Yep.
They add that up. And then depending on the, usually it's the state, but usually it's at least 6% that you get taxed on that amount.
Mm-hmm.
So you automatically, off the top, you as the server, you pay a minimum amount of taxes on there.
Yeah.
And so the other day I had this discussion with my husband because I was like, okay, well, six, you know, they're going to get taxed on this and blah, blah, blah. And he's like, well, it doesn't. And I was like, no, it really does matter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So no matter what, you're getting taxed on a base amount. And then some places assume that you make at least like 10% or 12%.
Mm-hmm.
And so maybe you had a bad night or whatever. Or maybe it's one of those places where they take all the tips and they pool them and then they share them.
Yep.
So it's really not worth it in some places to be a server.
That shared pool thing is nonsense, yeah. By the way. I hate that idea.
It's socialism.
This is it is.
Yeah.
But this is a game changer for people.
Yes and no. Let me tell you, because I'm very, very pro no tax on tips. However, there are loopholes in this for billionaires and millionaires who get quote unquote bonuses.
Okay.
Because what they can do if they have smart lawyers and smart
accountants,
financial people, yeah, accountants, that's the word I was looking for, is that they could claim their bonuses as tips. And then they don't have to pay taxes on it. So there are loopholes on it as far as
the wealthy taking advantage.
The very wealthy taking advantage of it. So yeah. You have to be careful with this because there's a lot of people that are going to game the system.
Interesting. Yeah.
And
people always staying one step ahead.
And that's revenue. And look, you know, if the bonus thing is crazy anyway, the amount they tax that. Mm-hmm. But to the millionaires and billionaires, the fact that they're getting taxed on that means, you know, that money is going to other things.
And by the way, too, did you see, and I don't know, this kind of went under the radar, I think it was late last week into the weekend, that Trump had kind of hinted at raising taxes for the rich just a tick, I believe was his post on Truth Social. I got to tell you, I really hate that. I do. And I'm not one of these, you know, rich individuals. I'm not rich by any stretch, so don't get it twisted. I'm not complaining as if it's going to really affect my life. But I hate the fact that somebody, because they achieved all the status they have in this life through capitalism, hard work, merit, and talent, could be getting taxed at 37 or 39%, 40%, whatever the highest earners are, short of like professional athletes that lose 45, 48% of their salary. I hate the fact that we're going to tax those people even more. I don't know. Have you guys ever had this conversation about the flat tax rate? I know that's kind of like a point of contention for a lot of people.
There should be a flat tax.
I am totally on board with that.
There 100%
should be a flat tax. I would love a flat percentage for everybody.
Yes. Yeah, but then it would.
And I'm not pandering to the elites out there by any stretch.
It would put the accountants out of business.
Not just the accountants. I mean, think about all the government workers. We've talked about Doge.
Yeah.
Think about the IRS.
Yes.
Yeah, we 1,000,000% should have a flat tax, but I doubt it'll ever happen.
Yeah, I agree.
My understanding on that, if I can just say, I thought that they were talking about cash tips.
Cash tips.
To Greg's point about bonuses.
Oh, in the bill?
I thought that it was specifically cash.
No.
Yeah.
No, I think there's a lot of loopholes in this if you really, you know.
Well, your bonuses come via your paycheck, right?
Some of them do, yeah.
Not many people get, you know, $9 million cash. But hey, look, that's why all this has to go. It'll go through Congress, mm-hmm. and they can talk about it.
Agreed. 855-839-1210. Let's get local for the next 40 minutes or so. We're going to get to Upper Darby. We're going to get to White Marsh Township. But I want to wrap up the hour next, the 6 o'clock hour, that is, with a little New Jersey discussion. Jack Cittarelli, Bill Spadia, and the Trump endorsement that likely ended the Republican primary.
Likely.
Likely. Back after this. Stay right there.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
One of my old-time sports listeners, Patricia Perks, sends me a DM. Is Spadia done? I missed the beginning of the show. I just got into my car. I said, hold on, we'll get back to it. So for those that are unaware, Bill Spadia, Jack Cittarelli, probably the top two guys as far as the Republican primary for governor in New Jersey. I've got some numbers here, but it's basically ball game. I would have had, if I thought about this morning. I was in here super early, by the way. I was up 20 minutes before my alarm got off. So I rolled in here at like 4:58. Phil Lomquist was like, what the hell are you doing here so early? Is that I couldn't sleep. So I had Jack probably as about a 4-1 favorite, and that was being generous to Bill Spadia. Predictit.org had Jack Cittarelli pre-Trump endorsement, which is the news. Trump endorsed Jack Cittirelli. I'll give you his post on Truth in a moment. But Jack Cittirelli, prior to that endorsement, according to PredictIt.org, had a 93% chance to win the Republican primary. By contrast, Mikey Sherrill has a 58% chance to win the Democrat primary. Now, according to NJBiz.com, within their respective primaries, 42% of those polled were going to vote for Jack Cittirelli to 12% for Bill Spadia. So there you kind of understand the two different percentages from a polling standpoint and an odd standpoint. And then also from NJBiz.com, Mikey Sherrill, 17% chance to win the Democrat primary. Steve Fulop, 12%. Sean Spiller, 10%. But based on both metrics, it looks like the Democrat side is a little tighter, whereas it was pretty much Jack Cittirelli in a landslide over Bill Spadia. I think it would be a formality now. Trump says Jack Cittirelli, this was on Truth last night, is a terrific America First candidate running to be the next governor of a state that I love, New Jersey. Jack, who after getting to know and understand MAGA, has gone all in and is now 100% plush. He is strongly supported by the most highly respected leaders in New Jersey. And as your next governor, Jack Cittirelli will work closely with me and the Trump administration to advance our America First agenda. There's about another paragraph of text from Trump, but I'll just wrap up for the sake of time here. He says Jack Cittirelli is a winner and he has my complete and total endorsement. He will not let you down. Make America great again and elect Jack Cittirelli. I had the opportunity to go out and meet him on the Saturday in November before the general election on Tuesday, November 5th. Fine time. But again, I will say this. I'm not a Jersey resident. I don't have a say in it. I can't vote. Obviously not eligible. If I was a Jersey resident, I would vote in the primary, probably would select Jack Cittirelli. And even if Cittirelli were to lose, I would still root for Bill Spadia over the governor. I'm going to be over the Democrat. I'm going to be rooting for New Jersey to go red. Scott Pressler has invested a ton of time, and I'll be consistent with this. I think Jersey has a better chance of going red than New York ever did. I thought that was laughable last fall that people tried to argue New York was in play for Trump. It's not. I don't ever see New York going red, as sad as that may sound. It should, but it won't. But I would say that this is basically a coin flip. I would argue that this is literally a 50-50 race between presumably Jack Cittirelli and presumably Mikey Sherrill. Dawn, I know you've talked about, you know, some of the strengths that maybe she provides and poses as a less than, I would say, she's not an insane Democrat by any stretch. What do you think about this? Do you think the Trump endorsement not only carries Jack to the primary, but also to winning the race? What do you think of this?
I think, well, as far as the Democrats, I think you cannot rule out on the Democrat side Steve Sweeney. Because remember, he used to appear on Fox News. So even though he's a Democrat, he's a household name in New Jersey. He's somebody as a union guy, a dad, and the whole reason that he got into politics in the first place is that because he and his wife, their youngest daughter, has developmental disabilities, Down syndrome, etc. And so because of educational services and that sort of thing, that was what activated actually his political involvement, because he started at the school board level like a lot of people, worked his way up. So I think, you know, for Steve Sweeney, you cannot rule him out as on the Democrat side as somebody who is very likable, viewed as very moderate, definitely viewed as a parental rights kind of guy. And so, you know, he was somebody who battled with obviously Phil Murphy and as on the, you know, and they're all Democrats, but I would say you also have Josh Gottheimer spending a lot of money on advertisement. You had Ross Baraka, who I don't think has a chance. Yeah. You know what?
He just got arrested.
That's why he got arrested. Yeah. He wanted all that free publicity.
Uh-huh.
So, and Steve Fulop. But I think the one to watch that's interesting within that is Steve Sweeney.
Okay.
And so, but I do, I've said it before, I'll say it again. Mikey Sherrill, if you could create an AI candidate as somebody who is, I mean, she's a mom, she has a bunch of kids, but she also has a military background and a chopper pilot in the military, you know what I mean? And so, and she's very likable. And so people often will think of somebody like John Fetterman, very progressive when he ran, but people liked him. He was that had that likability, that authenticity.
Yeah.
So I think as far as those two candidates, as far as if you say authenticity, I would say Mikey Sherrill number one. But Steve Sweeney, don't rule him out. He's a tough, you know what I mean? He's been in this game, longtime senator, and don't rule him out.
Here's the percentages to the names that you mentioned attached to that. Mikey Sherrill, 17%, Steve Fulop, 12%, Spiller, 10%, Gottheimer, 9%, Baraka, 9%, Sweeney, 7%, and 4% prefer none of the candidates listed.
I think that, and I'm going to kind of echo what our buddy Chris Appolito says here on the YouTube chat, is that I don't think Trump should have endorsed before the primary. I think that he should have waited, and I think that, you know, once Cittarelli won the nomination, if he was going to win the nomination, then he should have put his full support behind Cittarelli, done rallies with him, because we know that Trump is popular in New Jersey. He got the most Republican votes, you know, for president. I don't know if ever, but, you know, in a long time. I just think that, like, doing this and, you know, putting your thumb on the scale of this in the primary was not a good move.
Even though it was probably a formality anyway to begin with?
I mean, you say that, but then I don't understand news people. Okay. Is that everybody is always like, polls are wrong, polls are wrong, polls are wrong. Well, the polls say that Jack Cittarelli is running away with this. Okay, mm-hmm. So what is it? Are polls wrong, or was Cittarelli running away?
I just always try to gauge it based on what my gut is telling me. This felt like this was never going to be a contest to begin with.
I'm also going to say I'm going to be the complete turd in the punch bowl at 6:54. A New Jersey Republican running is a lot different than Donald Trump running.
Oh, agreed.
So the fact that Trump did very, very well in New Jersey, I don't think says that Jack Cittarelli is going to be the next governor of
New Jersey. I totally agree with that. I mean, just go to Lancaster when we had the district, the special election. Trump won it by 15, and then a Democrat wins it a few months later. Just because he's got the endorsement does not get, and that's not a slight against Trump with the power of the magical pixie dust upon the blessing of the endorsement. But we've seen voter turnout a lot different than when Trump's not on the ballot, right?
Yeah,
yeah. I would like to think, with all the people that text me from New Jersey about showing up for this and promoting that, and can you swing by here? I hope Jersey better not just sit home and let Mikey Sherrill win by default. I hope that's not going to be the case.
I believe that it is. We're still, you know, there's still a lot of there's still a lot of time. But I believe that this year, because it's always like elections are always cyclical. Like it's a reaction to what's happened over the last couple of months.
Sure,
I still think that New Jersey is going to ride the anti-Trump wave, and I don't think it's going to. I don't think it's even going to be close, to be honest with you.
You think Jack loses by a larger margin this time than the first time?
I do. There's not a lot of passion behind Jack Cittarelli.
Okay.
There's just not.
Well, okay.
I mean, that could change.
Okay.
That could absolutely change.
Wait,
but right now.
A couple of things that I will say to you. Number one, what are the big issues in New Jersey? So I want you to think about what happened yesterday in North Jersey,
mm-hmm.
when Adan Alexander, his family, he graduated high school, grew up in New Jersey. Jewish community, think about the Jewish vote,
yep.
and how in the past election it turned for voting R for Trump. I mean, there are people I know who have said, I can't believe I voted for Trump, but he's going to protect the Jews. He's going to protect my kids at college, and it's all about my kids.
Yep.
So if you think about the Jewish vote, Jack Cittarelli was talking about Adan Alexander's return yesterday. The Jewish vote is in play in New Jersey as it is around the nation, number one. Number two, parental rights in New Jersey. Look at what happened among the strictest shutdowns in the schools. Nobody has forgotten that. And right now, as we speak, there are still battles in those school districts over ridiculous stuff that defy parental rights. Huge issue. Girls in sports, protecting girls and women in sports. It's one of those issues, I'm telling you, here in Pennsylvania, it was an issue that kind of goes under the radar a little bit. Riley Gaines was here, Paula Scanlon. We did all those events together, Montgomery County, Bucks County, etc. That's a huge issue in New Jersey. who is front and center in New Jersey? We talk about Scott Pressler, but also Paula Scanlon and many of those same people, girls in sports, protecting women and girls in sports. These are all some issues that maybe don't make the national headlines as much.
You put way too much faith in that. They don't win elections,
this is,
Dawn.
But
they
this
don't
is
win
what
elections.
Gets parents out to vote, Greg.
It makes sense. It makes sense to me.
Also, people are PO'd about all the turbine stuff. Look at the electricity bills and the power bills in
the
New
economy.
Jersey are through the roof.
The economy. Paula Scanlon and Riley Gaines and that stuff is not getting people out to vote. The economy is the end. You know what I mean? So,
well,
so yes.
Every little bit counts.
The 20% increase
to
in
Jack Cittarelli when every one of those issues that we've talked about.
Oh, yeah. You don't have to sell me or this audience on that. We realize that, but do the masses? That's my question. Statewide, South Philly, North Jersey, Central Jersey. Where is Central Jersey? What's the line of Central Jersey? I think it comes down to immigration and the economy.
All right, we really have to break.
By the way, real quick, can we find out how many sanctuary cities New Jersey has? I think that's going to be a big issue.
All of them.
Every single
all of
one?
New Jersey is a sanctuary. New Jersey is a sanctuary state. New Jersey.
Oh, I would
sanctuary
hope.
State.
I hope the Republican ends that.
New Jersey.
Kale and Company. Dawn's got news to kick off hour number two, and then we stay local, except we come across the Delaware to the burbs of Philadelphia. Stay right there.
Start your day with Kale and Company. Weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.